We're off and rolling. It is a Wednesday, last day of March 2021, March 31st, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio for the next 2 hours by Glenn Coble. Don't forget, coming up today, A Progressive Life from 12:10 until 1 p.m., and then Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7, today right here on WWGH Radio. Now, I do want to make an announcement really quick, and it will be followed by a bigger announcement as time goes on, but this Friday, we will not be doing live programming in the morning. Now, Friday night, there's a good possibility we will be doing live programming, but Friday morning there will be no new live programming, and it has nothing to do with anything bad. A matter of fact, it has something to do with something very good, but we're not going to make that announcement until later in the day on Friday. So stay tuned to the Facebooks and all that, and we might be on the air Friday night, 8 to 10. I'm not saying that won't happen. It's just Friday morning's programming will not be live. So if you tune in Friday morning and you don't get anything, or we aren't there, there is a reason for that. It's a good reason, though, and we can't wait to share it with you later in the day, Friday, once it is all complete. But that's that. Is that a good way to put it, Glenn? Because you know what's going on.
It's as secretively as you can make it, yes.
Well, it's one of those things. It's not so much a secret. I don't see it as a secret, but it's one of those things you want to do as an announcement.
Yeah.
And right now, you really can't do that. Because I don't know what...
Things may change.
Things may change between now and then, so I don't want to get that far in the weeds.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm also excited because once we get these transmitter issues worked out, that everything will be back in full swing, hopefully, and we'll be moving on down the road.
If you're listening and you're struggling, and I know as I was coming in, while you're driving, you get that picket fence, what they call a picket fence thing, where the signal goes in and out. Our signal, for some reason or other, we don't know why, but we're guessing maybe the wind messed us up. But if you just go to our website and go toward the bottom of the website, it says listen live. Well, just click on that and you can actually listen to us live with no off and on. It's a very good signal, and
also the TuneIn app.
Yeah, TuneIn,
which is free.
Yeah.
All you got to do is search TuneIn and download it. It's absolutely free on any mobile device. Search WWGH and there we are. Let's see here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Hey, I had a trouble getting in this morning. The last few mornings have been busy. I finally got you in. They turned your 10 o'clock news there. It was kind of weak. And now I can hear you pretty good.
Okay. Well, you know, partially, what's going on is an antenna issue. Clearly, that would denote an antenna issue, that what you just explained, that it's been fuzzy for 2 days and now it's clear.
Yeah, the last 2 days, and then I keep playing around with the radio this morning, and other stations kept coming over, right over here, and so I'm down there in the south end by the park. So, I can hear you guys pretty good now.
Now, which park is out there on the south end? Are you...
Down by McKinley Park.
Which park is that, Bob?
McKinley, the hospital.
McKinley Park. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, you ought to pick us up fairly decently down there, yeah.
Well, the last 2 days I couldn't.
Huh.
But today, I said I'll play around with it, I got you guys.
Well, I'm glad you're back in, Bob, and we'll hopefully the problems will clear up soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, if you're just tuning into any of this, what happened was we had the terrible windstorm on Thursday night and really into Friday morning, and I was on the air Friday morning, and everything was fine in the morning, but about 11:15...
That's when the wind started. Yeah
about 11:15, something happened, and... we lost about, I'm going to say, a half to maybe three-quarters of the power of the station. Now, in the beginning, we thought that was a transmitter issue because that happens. But with the coincidence of the wind and now what we know the error message is, it sounds more like an antenna issue.
Yeah, probably dangling up there or something.
It could be. I know it's up there because I can see it. So I know it's up there, but nobody, you know, you don't want to send somebody. It's not worth going out to your death.
Yes, no.
To fix that.
And
right
it has
now.
Been blowy, so.
Right, so we will wait until we can get to it, and then we will fix that, and hopefully go merrily on at that point. So until then, download the free TuneIn app, or listen on the website, or go park in a parking lot close to the antenna, and you can hear what's going on here on the station.
My wife and I used to do that when my son played baseball for Marietta College, and they were on the air, but their station broadcast very weekly from Marietta to Athens. So we found one park where we could go and sit and listen to all of his games, and that was kind of fun.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I came on Monday morning, I said I had seen an interview with David Letterman one time where he said the college radio station he worked at was 10 watts.
Oh, my.
And that you had to come sit in the parking lot to listen to that station.
Yeah. Well, I worked at a radio station, doesn't make any difference, in Indianapolis for Butler University. And we were the largest student solely operated radio station in the world with 47,000 watts. That's a lot of watts for a student station.
Well, you know, though, I really still will stick to this. I know there's something kind of romantic and old about being over the air. But I, you know, this new technology is fascinating
right.
to me,
yeah.
And how things are carried and how things are promoted and the things you can do, when you use those outlets that we cannot do.
FCC may have to go out of business.
Well, I really do believe, you know, I don't know how soon it will happen, but I believe that's going to be the way one day. I don't think, you know, I don't know of any radio station in business right now that does not have an app. I don't know of any radio station right now that does not stream on their website.
Right.
Now, they don't do that because they think their signal is so strong. They do that because they think that's how people are listening.
Well, it's nice to be able, like when I advertise my show, it's nice to be able to say at the bottom of my advertisement, you can tune in anywhere in the world.
Right, and one of the things about it is, to be perfectly honest, when I went to Pennsylvania this past weekend, you know, you don't do what you used to do. You don't get in an air. You don't turn on a station, and then when you get out of the area, try to find another station. You just turn on your cell phone. I use TuneIn. We use TuneIn, and we just found a station we liked, put it on, and it never goes out.
Stayed. Yeah,
it never goes out. You plug it right in.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got to know how to do that. But and if you don't have a new car, you don't have the little plug-in thing.
You know, though, but we're getting into a time when brand new cars are not the only ones that have those. I mean, most cars going back 10 years now have a way to plug those in.
Yeah, yeah. My newer car does. I have a 2012, and then I have a 2007. Now, my 2007 does not, but my 2012 does.
So. Yeah. Well, and there you go. So that's 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So I really think this is going to be the way of the future, because I talk to so many people and they'll say, well, how can I listen? And I'll say, well, you're 107.1 FM. And they'll say, I don't have a radio.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
You know?
Yeah. And my son just bought a new car, and his car does everything but clean his glasses for him, you know.
Right.
He just talks to his car and it does everything.
I just think the new technology is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we get stuck in our old technology and we just do it because that's the way we've always done it.
Right.
It's the way we've always done it, so it's the way we must do it.
I like to refer to this as Jetson-esque.
Yeah,
it's just like what you used to watch on TV, and they were kind of kidding us that would come along. But no, you can do everything now.
Well, it's funny to me because one of the complaints you always hear is, I can't reach the station over in this area.
Yeah.
Well, with cell phones and internet, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And we're still not charging.
Well, yeah. And we had a phone call, a listener. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, from Barcelona, Spain. So I know it goes.
Yeah. Well, and also I just got this Google Nest for my birthday a month ago, and all I have to do now that it's hooked up is say, Hey Google, play WWGH, and bam, it's there.
Do you have to teach it where WWGH is?
No.
It just knows.
Once you pair it with whatever internet device you have in your house, whatever Wi-Fi, once it's paired, it's its job to look it up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, but it'll tell you where it's pulling it. It'll either say it's pulling it from the website or it's pulling it from TuneIn. Usually goes to TuneIn.
Uh-huh. Pretty interesting where we're going.
And you don't have to pay a dime for it.
Yeah. And that's the way it used to be when you had live radio and television. Back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you didn't have to pay anything.
Well, that's why I've never understood satellite radio.
Yeah, I never did either.
I mean, because that is you have to pay.
Yeah.
To listen to that.
Yeah, and the stuff they have on there isn't worth buying, but
no,
in my opinion.
So, you've been to Philadelphia, I'm sure.
Many times.
What do you think of it?
I love Philadelphia.
Do you love the traffic and the narrow streets?
Well, see, it's been a long time since I've been to Philadelphia. But what I like, it's kind of like Boston in that there is so much history. If you just walk down any street in downtown, there, history is going to smack you in the face like it did you. You didn't know that Ben Franklin was there, right?
No, I didn't know he was buried there, no.
Yeah, you just walked up and, hey, look.
There he is.
Yeah, and that's the way both Boston and Philadelphia, you can walk down any street in downtown and you'll run right into something that's interesting.
Why, though, is a cracked bell the signature of liberty?
Well, I don't think it was cracked when they first used
right,
it.
Right, but why back then it's not old. Why wouldn't they say, let's get a new bell?
Let's fix it.
Yeah, let's fix this bell.
I think they did kind of fix it with a some kind of rivet that held it together, but I don't know.
There's some kind of sign in that. I don't know what kind of sign that is, but you get the bell, you call it the Liberty Bell, and this is going to be the symbol of our country, and it's so important you can't even discard it, and you crack it.
Do you think it would have become our symbol if it hadn't been cracked? I think that would have made it very famous.
Well, did it?
I think so. That's a guess.
I don't know which came first there, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if it was the Liberty Bell and then it cracked, or if it cracked, so they called it the Liberty Bell.
It was a cracked egg.
Now, does anybody know this?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, we could all Google it. We're not going to, because we want you to give us the answer.
Yeah, you give us the answer.
We're not going to hint it out. 740-383-9944. But like I said to the audience earlier, it was odd to me, because here's Constitution Hall and the old post office and all these historic buildings, but there are barricades in front of them now. You can see them, but there are like parking barriers
trying
there
to stop any
and security right there, very apparent in front of these buildings. But yet across the street, here's the Liberty Bell in glass. No barriers.
It was already broken, so they weren't worried about it.
That's right. You don't got to damage that thing. Nobody's watching that. Nobody must want that. Who cares?
It'd be a little tough to stick it in your coat pocket, too.
Yeah, but you could break that glass pretty easy.
Yeah, I bet you could.
All right, we're going to break back in 60 seconds. Tell us about the Liberty Bell, 740-383-9944.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist, but actually one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble back with you here on the last day of March, 2021. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Tell us about the Liberty. Why is it cracked? Was it cracked before it became the Liberty Bell? Or did the Liberty Bell crack We don't know. 740-383-9944. But I just think there's some irony in the fact that the symbol of our country is a cracked bell.
Did that gentleman that walked up to you in Philadelphia asking you questions, did he ask about the cracked bell?
No, he just asked about Constitution Hall.
Oh, okay. Did you know a lot about Constitution
Hall? I knew the Constitution was signed there.
Well, yeah. Thus the name.
Hence the name. You don't get over anything on me.
And I think that the first production of Hamilton was performed there, wasn't it? I made that.
The original.
Yeah.
The original production. You know, I honestly, Angie thought it was because I had a bow tie on.
Yeah, it could be.
That I look like an aficionado.
Well, you
do.
You do, because, you know, when you have a bow tie on, you kind of attract attention, because how many men wear a bow tie? Not very many.
Gordon Gee.
Yeah, but he's not hanging around.
No, but I never thought about it, because I was there taking a picture. I'd had this bow tie on all day, and a nice couple just said, what went on in that building? Now, first of all, I'm thinking, you're in Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell's just right over there, you're in Independence Mall, or Hall, or whatever they call it, Square, it has different names. You know,
I bet there's brochures around.
Well, I thought, well, maybe he's trying to be funny, but there's no audience there, so that's not very funny.
Well, did you? You must have enjoyed yourself. Did you have a Philly cheesesteak?
No, I did not do that. I'll tell you why.
Oh, my.
No, I'll tell you why. Because we went to dinner before we went over to Philadelphia in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at a place called the Shady Maple.
Okay.
And it's, I think, the biggest, you know, if not the biggest, one of the biggest buffets in the world.
Oh, wow.
And they had every type of food you could possibly imagine on the face of the earth. They had salmon patties.
I thought you looked a little bigger.
Oh, my goodness. Salmon patties, crab cakes, hamburgers, sirloin steak, New York strip steak, fish, chicken, French fries, a huge salad bar with anything you could put on a salad imaginable, every dessert possible. It was enormous. They had sarsaparilla. And
really?
Oh, yes.
I haven't had that in years.
And a certain type of root beer and all kinds of sodas. And it was just so big, but so busy. So busy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you have that much food, you're going to attract a lot of people.
So did not need to go get a Philly cheesesteak.
I see.
No. Also, Philadelphia was, to me, kind of a frustrating city to travel in. I found, and I've driven in New York, and I've driven in Chicago, and I've driven in Washington, D.C., and Columbus, and Cleveland, and all these cities, Detroit. Washington, D.C., to me, is the most difficult. But Philadelphia, boy, it's not far behind. They have narrow streets and very slow-moving traffic.
Really? Yeah. Nice. That's one of the things I always liked about Chicago. Chicago is a huge city, 3-4 million people, and lots of traffic, but it moves pretty quickly.
Well, even in New York, I mean, it moves.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia,
it wasn't moving.
No, it was not moving. And then they were trying to do construction on a Saturday night, and they had a street blocked off. And I thought, why would you do this on a Saturday night?
Well, they were hoping less people were there, I imagine.
Well, I would think on a Saturday night in a major attraction city, right down by Constitution Hall, that would not be the place or the time to do. Maybe a Monday afternoon.
Yeah. I don't know. I never understand that. And they always have orange barrels out in every big city, exactly where you don't need them.
And what were they paying these people to work Saturday night?
Probably time and a half at least.
Maybe double time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But that's the way it goes.
That's why we spend so much money in our government, because we don't do it very efficiently.
Well, what do you feel about that whole situation? Constitution Hall and the Declaration of Independence and the Liberty Bell and the city of Philadelphia, Ben Franklin, the whole bit.
I'm not quite sure what you're asking. I like
the history of this country.
I like Philadelphia. I like the history of this country. I'm glad I live here. I think it's exciting to go to cities like that. And yes, I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't want to have to drive that every day. But I find it fun to go to those places. I've been in, I think, most major cities in the Western world, including Europe, most of the major cities. And probably the one I enjoyed the most was Paris, because Paris, when I was there, a long time ago, there was very little, there wasn't a lot of traffic, and there were a lot of streets that were open for only pedestrian traffic, which was kind of fun. Chicago in the United States is probably my favorite big town to travel around in. I did not notice the problem in Philadelphia because I think I was there, well, I know many times I was there with a basketball team, so I didn't have to worry about the travel. I just sat and listened to my music.
Now, have you been to Hershey?
Yes, I have been to Hershey.
Now, Hershey, I was surprised about, because I thought being this city, which is the home of Milton Hershey and the history of Milton Hershey and the factory and the Hershey name and all this, I thought it would be a busier city. It's a very...
Oh, no.
No, it's very minor.
Yeah, very minor. Matter of fact, that's all that's there, really. And I was a little, quite frankly, a little disappointed when I went to Hershey. But I've only been through Hershey twice that I can recall.
Now, did you take the tour?
No, I did not.
Now, see, the tour is interesting.
We went by, but we didn't stop.
Now, the tour is interesting because you go in there and there is a lot of candy. There is a lot of merchandise. And the tour of how a candy bar becomes a candy bar and the...
That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting place.
Did they give you samples?
They did. They did. They're good that way. They're at the, I think it's called Chocolate World, and they have, you know, the big Hershey Kiss mobile outside, and it's a very unique area. But what is fascinating to me about Hershey is just that it's two-way streets. It's not busy.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to do something really fun and take a tour of something very popular, and who doesn't know the Hershey Candy Bar? You could do it there, but you would not have to worry about heavy traffic. You would not have to worry about interstates. You would not have to worry about anything.
And you're close if you go there. You're close to going to, if you want to see all that heavy traffic, you can get there from Hershey.
I can see why a lot of people go there with their families.
Yeah.
And there's an amusement park there, and I don't know when it's open. I'm not sure if it was closed because of pandemic or because it's not summer yet, but there's an amusement park, a big amusement park there with all kinds of stuff.
Now, it wasn't there when I was there that I recall. But I see.
It might have been, though, because there's some old...
Well, maybe I just didn't know where it was. Now, I haven't traveled since anywhere other than with basketball and football teams. And when you're traveling with basketball and football teams, you don't see much of anything but the motel, the bar, and the gymnasium or the football field. That's really all you get to see. But when I was really traveling with family, that was much earlier, so things have changed.
It just it's a fascinating place to find out about the history of something that is in every supermarket checkout line across the country.
Well, now, you said three cities, I think. Philadelphia, Hershey, and where else?
Lancaster is where the... Now, that was a very kind of Amish-based city, where the Shady Maple was. But this Shady Maple, not only was it this big smorgasbord, and that's what they call it, a smorgasbord, under it was a great shop, like an antique mall and place you could buy all kinds of... And it's huge. The place is huge. And then outside, there is a grocery store, which... is gigantic, where you can buy things that you might have eaten at the smorgasbord.
Lots of cheese?
Well, you know, I'm sure there was. I did not see a lot of cheese, but I saw, like, shoe fly pie.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, shoe fly pie. Now, that was there.
Doesn't sound edible.
Well, no, it's you know, honestly, I think I tasted it, maybe. Did I taste it? Maybe I didn't, but it's not anything like mincemeat pie. It's not in that area.
Okay,
yeah. A lot of people like it. Well, it's on the menu at the smorgasbord.
Now, I'm trying to remember the home cooking, Amish home cooking that we have just east of here. I can't remember the name of that.
Plain City?
No. It's a very famous restaurant over on off of 70. Shoot, I can't remember. Anyway, every time I go to places like that where they have lots of Amish type food, I get so stuffed. They won't let you quit eating. And that's, you know, it's really fun to go there with anticipation. But on the way home, you have to stop two or three times to go to the bathroom, and your tummy is a little growly. And so I have stopped going to places like that.
Well, like
any place that serves a lot of food, I cannot go there because it, as I get older, I guess don't digest as well.
Oh, so it's a physical problem.
Yeah, kind of. Tummy problem.
Okay, gotcha.
For the last 2 weeks, my stomach has been talking to me. Just doesn't hurt or anything. Just keeps saying, hey, roll over or something.
Well, you know, this morning we had Governor Strickland on.
Oh, yeah. I missed it. I'm sorry.
And he was talking about the, I believe it's Senate Bill 22, which limits the power of the governor to be able to enforce health orders. You know, Governor DeWine vetoed it, and then they overrode his veto, so now we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. You know, Governor Strickland was certainly on Governor DeWine's side on this one.
That was a real smooth switch.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Segway.
Yeah. The segway was really
smooth.
Well,
I thought once we got into digestion, I thought maybe it's time to segue out of that.
Well, what did Mr. Strickland respond about it?
Well, he didn't like that the legislature had done that. He felt that they were acting
vindictive.
Well, certainly against the governor, and that they were worried about their own interest. I think was what
I'm concerned. How in the world? Not only has our our Republican friends, not only have they turned against the Democrats, but they seem to be turning against their own governors.
Well, I just don't know. See, and I brought this up to Governor Strickland. There are a lot of small business owners, and there are a lot of citizens who have, they're just done with this pandemic. They've had it. They've seen their businesses collapse. They have watched communities go downhill, and they are fed up after a year. So if you are representing your constituency and your constituency is saying, get these orders off, you know, I don't know what the percentage is right now of people who still want them in place versus people who don't. And I guess if you're a congressman from an area, are you there to, it's a question we've asked a thousand times, are you there to represent the people or are you there to follow your own beliefs?
I've had that fight with students since I was went to a worked at a college. So yeah, that's a tough one. Now, my son own and his wife and family own a vineyard, and they also have a tasting room out in California. And the problem they've had is there is a lack of consistency of whether tasting rooms are can be opened or not, and they have.
And we're coming up on the
from
break.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on WWGH Radio. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Anything you would like to talk about, give us a buzz. We'll be glad to discuss it here on the program. But we were having the discussion about Governor Ted Strickland appearing on the program earlier and talking about the the legislature here in Ohio overriding Governor DeWine's veto. So basically that the legislature will now be able to override his health orders if they should want to do that. And the argument is, are they representing the people? And in Ohio, they probably are at this point.
Well, with gerrymandering as it is, the Republicans are only about 44 to 46% of the population, and yet they control about 60% of the votes. So, my guess is they aren't really care. They really don't pay much attention to what their constituents think.
Well, I think they want to get reelected.
Yeah,
above all else. They must feel they're not popular with their constituency. Or I don't know what would be the other reason to do this.
Well, and their constituency, like I said, might be 44% of the population. So therefore, they're really not paying much attention to the majority of the people. They're paying attention to their people. And I understand that, I guess.
Well, the governor's also up for re-election next year as well.
Is that right? It's already his re-election, huh?
So I don't know how he will handle this whole situation, because did he do what people wanted him to do? I really don't know. I think he's going to have a very difficult time because...
Well, it kind of depends on who he's running against.
I don't even know if... I don't think so, because I think that the Democrats are already thinking about who they're going to run, and I think they know who they're going to run in the primary, and I think there will be a primary. But I also believe that Governor DeWine will be primaried strictly based on this pandemic.
If he's primaried, that'd make it tough for him to stay in there.
And I don't know that he could win the Republican primary, because the problem is it's the registered Republicans who vote in the Republican primary, and a lot of Republicans are very, very offended about how he's handled this, as the legislature shows.
Yeah, I'm glad I got out of that business, just because you can't understand politics anymore, because first of all, it seems like everybody and his brother wants to lie about something, and it's really difficult to understand what the majority of the people want. Every time they do polling, they find out that the majority of people want something. Like right now, Senate Bill 1 that's up, it has to do with, I keep thinking voter suppression, but that's not right. But anyway, Senate Bill 1 is, it's 90% when they do polling, and yet the Republicans are not going to vote for it because their people don't like it. You just can't find out. I used to think that the United States, the democracy of the United States of America, was ruled by the majority, but it is no longer.
You know, I don't know. I don't know, because I think that I know we don't listen to other people anymore.
Yeah.
I know that. But we don't listen to each other.
Yeah.
We just talk past each other.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how we get anything done, and we're not getting anything done in the country because of it, because we are talking past each other, and we are trying to get things done that clearly are too ambitious, even for one's own party. They are too ambitious, and they can't get things done. So I don't really understand it. I think it's all just a big gobbledygook right now.
Well, now your listeners, our listeners, know where I stand because of my show. But I really think that the Democratic Party is terribly ambitious, and they have bickering up between them. But I think in most cases they will find a way to make sure that big tent is wide open to all their constituents. I don't understand why the Republicans want to be so anti-movement, anti-progress.
Well, we'll find. You know, I think where the Democrats are too ambitious, and it has already showed in the 2 months of this presidency, was the $15 minimum wage, and I think the college loan debt, which still has not been passed. I think that these two things have been put on the table. We have a Democratic Senate. We have a Democratic House.
But they can't do anything unless they get 60 votes, and that means...
They could, though. They could do what the Republicans did.
They could only do it twice in a year, or this year, they can only do it twice, and they've already used one of those, what is that called, reconciliations.
Right.
And so I think they're saving the second reconciliation for something like the voter suppression, or maybe even the infrastructure bill that they're talking about passing at $3 trillion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So was that too ambitious?
I think it's...
Didn't the Republicans, though, have the same problem? They didn't have a supermajority in the Senate, so they were having the same issues.
That is a problem for both parties. And that's the problem with having a 60% filibuster.
You know, they got rid of Obamacare in the House. They voted to repeal it. It's the Senate where they couldn't get it done.
Well, I think that if the Democratic Party can get rid of the filibuster, that will help one vote, one person, one vote, in theory. But I don't know if it's going to happen.
I just think that if people were more, both parties got a little closer to the center, which both of them used to be, they used to be closer to the center, that a lot of legislation could get passed. But I think they go way over. Like, why that COVID bill had to have the $15 minimum wage attached to it?
Because they were trying to get it done.
They were trying to get it done, but right. that was they should have known.
But it didn't hurt anything that they took it off, because it got a lot of attention, and eventually it will get passed because it's gotten so much attention. Unfortunately, by the time it gets passed, $15 will be... It'll have to be up to $20. So.
Right, but as you said, they only have one more shot this year now to...
They're not going to do that with the reconciliation.
No, so that's out.
No. Yeah.
And college loan debt may be out.
But I think what the Democratic Party was doing was floating trial balloons and saying, what does the general public want? And I think the only way they can move forward is by getting the general public to scream at their representatives in Congress and in the Senate, because of the stupid 60% filibuster.
Well, I don't know. I think that you know, I remember during Bill Clinton's administration, and I remember during Ronald Reagan's administration, and George H.W. Bush, first Bush, that most of the legislation you look at during those three presidencies, which make up 20 years, 12 Republican and 8 Democrat, there was not really any gigantic, groundbreaking, progressive or conservative legislation passed. Most of the legislation that went through was just... that it was legislation that was center of the road that did get bipartisan support in most cases,
and there were a lot of things like race relations and racial biases and stuff like that that were ignored during those times, and I think we've become, at least the Democratic Party has become, much more conscious of those type of things, and they're going to be harder and harder to pass. And with the demographic changing, so by 2045, we will no longer be a white society. We will be a mixed society. I think urgency is starting to get on the Democratic side and be against the Republican side where they stand right now. And I really think that the Republican side is going to have to go more center. And I think the Democratic, the harsh right side, left side of the Democrats is going to have to adjust. I agree with you. I consider myself a moderate when it comes to being a Democrat. And yet I am progressive, but moderate progressive. You have to do it with what you got. You can't do it with smoke and mirrors.
Well, I just believe you cannot solve any problem until you understand why the other side believes why they believe and what they believe. And I'm not saying you have to agree with what they believe, but you just have to understand why they believe it. And it's easy sometimes it's like being in a fight. It's easy, a verbal fight. It's easy to go to the lowest common denominator. And if I don't like what you're doing, then I just pick on some, oh, you're ugly. You're stupid. Yeah. You're this. It's easy to do that, but it's not easy to figure out, well, why is this person mad at me? And do I understand why we don't see eye to eye on this issue?
And I think there are a lot of politicians right now that are trying to do that, right? I believe it currently is on the Democratic side, but I think there are some Republican legislators that are also trying to understand their opponent. And I hope we get there. I think maybe the past president's good thing that he did was force the people of America to start listening to other people. I hope he did. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. I just got an email from one of our listeners. Now, sure. I won't say her name because maybe she wouldn't want me to, but it says, "Hi, Scott. Listened to Governor Strickland this morning. Hit home as I contacted my representative last week and almost word for word how Governor Strickland said. Surprising, no response, even though my name, phone, and email was given. Ended with hopefully when the time comes for election, they pay the price. Governor DeWine cares about the people of Ohio." So there you go. A person who agrees with Governor Strickland, who was on this morning and contacted her representative, and apparently no word back as of yet.
Have you contacted your representative recently? They make it as difficult as possible. First of all, you've got to get onto their site. Then you've got to go, like if you want to email them, then they give you several questions that you have to answer. They won't even take a question from somebody that's from outside of their district, which I guess I understand that. But I have probably 20 or 30 emails or phone calls, and I always get the same response. As a matter of fact, it's the same words. We are very concerned about what you say. Thank you so much for contacting XOX office. The only person I've ever gotten a more than standard response, Sherrod Brown, responded to me and my wife once to me, and I think twice to my wife. But usually you get the, thank you, we really care about you message. So it you kind of think they don't really care.
I don't know. You know, I think people, it's very difficult because there's no possible way that every representative could hear every constituent. Now, you'd like to think that would be possible.
Right.
It's just not. And I think more people are contacting their constituents now.
I'm sure of that.
And I think it's been very difficult.
Well, and what they do is they usually they take the phone calls. Some student, assistant, listens probably just to the first couple of words and says, this person doesn't like this issue, or this person does like this issue, and they give it check marks. And then they might send to the principal a notification that 47 people have contacted us about voter suppression and against it, and 14 for it, you know, and you know, that's the way they do things. They have to, because if they get several hundreds, I'm sure even several thousands of phone calls a day, it's going to be tough.
We're going to break. Be right back in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
By the way, I do want to wish a happy 95th birthday to Jane Meadows. Turned 95
a few days ago. Get her on if you get through her secretary.